the first season of Ancient Anecdotes powered by Listen Cup. This is your host Lalita Ramanathan.
And this is Ramanathan Iyer.
Appa, do you know what happened? Amma just told me that I am speaking like her when I am upset. Is it true?
Well, you are our daughter. You will speak like us because that's what you have seen and learned.
How do I learn to speak like you both? How did I learn to repeat your words and actions in the same way?
Well, it's natural, isn't it? You have spent maximum time with us. All you know of how to do things is how you have seen us do the same things. So, it is necessary for even us parents to be careful.
Careful? Why careful, Pa?
Oh, lots of rules are there. Granddad used to tell us that parents have to be careful not to speak too harshly with each other when the child is around. My own parents never used to fight in front of me. See, bottom line, as parents, your Amma and I will somehow figure out a way to make you learn. All you have to do is to trust us and be aware that you can think properly. Deal?
Yes, Pa. Deal. But how does being aware help?
See, what generally happens when one parent is angry and scolding the other parent?
The other parent tries to calm the angry parent down.
Correct. The word you're looking for is called pacify. Say?
Pacify.
Good. My granddad used to say that the word pacify came from the Latin word pacis, which means peace. This word pacis has also come from the Sanskrit word prashantaha. Awesome, no? Say?
Prashantaha.
Good. See, this is the turning point. We never know when we are angry, isn't it? Neither do parents who are arguing with each other. After seeing his or her parents fight is the point from where the child, who's more or less always happy otherwise, then becomes comfortable being grumpy, being angry. The child thinks, it must be right to do this, even my parents do it all the time. This is when the child feels his or her decision to be grumpy or angry is right. Then children realize that when they show anger or behave grumpily, the parents are showing more attention. Then the child will even test this out with their classmates at school or their friends at play and so on.
Oh God, I have done this. I have been a grumpy baby with my Amma as well as with my friends.
See, this is the reason we need to be aware. So we can be the person who pacifies rather than the person who needs to be pacified. Come, let me tell you a story from the ancient pages of the Brahma Kandam in the great Vyasadeva's Brahma Vaivarata Puranam. Wait, where are you going?
Story is starting, Pa. I'm going to get my pillows and socks and bed sheets.
Cozy baby.
Okay, I'm all set. Let's go.
Only if you promise to pick up cursive writing after this. Deal?
Deal, Pa.
In the celestial realm of Vaikuntha, where time weaves into eternity and divine melodies fill the air, the great protector, Lord Mahavishnu, resided with his consorts, Devi Lakshmi, Devi Ganga, and Devi Saraswati. Each goddess, a paragon of divine virtues, lived in harmony under the cosmic canopy. Yet, as is the way of the world, both mortal and divine, emotions stirred, leading to a tale of discord, wisdom, and eventually redemption.
Narada Uvacha Katham Saraswati Devi Ganga Shapena Bharate Kalaya Kalahenaiva Samabhut Punyadasarit Shravane Shruti Saranam Vardhate Kautukam Mama Kathamritanam Notruptihi Kena Shreyasi Tripyate Katham Sashapasa Ganga Pujitam tam sarasvatim shanta satsvarupa cha punyada sarvadandranam तेजस्विन्योर्द्वयोर्वादकारणं श्रुतिसुन्दरं सुदुर्लभं पुराणेषु तन्मे व्याख्यातुमर्हसि। श्रीनारायण उवाच, शृणु नारद वक्ष्यामि कथामेतां पुरातनीं, यस्याः स्मरणमात्रेण सर्वपापात् प्रमुच्यते। लक्ष्मीः सरस्वती गङ्गा तिस्रो भार्या हरेरपि प्रेम्णा समास्तस्तिष्ठन्ति सतत हरिसन्निधौ।
As the eons passed, in a blink of divine time, a seed of discontent grew between Saraswati and Ganga, each yearning for Lord Mahavishnu's affection and presence. Saraswati, feeling overshadowed by Ganga's affection for Lord Mahavishnu, approached Lord Mahavishnu with a heavy heart and said,
"O Lokanatha, am I not devout enough? Why do I find my presence in your heart diminished? Am I not your consort, equal to Ganga and Lakshmi? Why do I find you favoring Ganga and Lakshmi over me? Ganga also favors Lakshmi. So where does that leave me, O Janardana?"
Mahavishnu could not brook the accusation, and so he left the congregation of the divine trio. Devi Saraswati glared back at Ganga. She didn't get her closure, so she took out her anger on Ganga.
"Sister Ganga, let him come back. I will not rest until I have insulted you enough for Lord Vishnu to want me and only me."
Saying so, Devi Saraswati tried to grab a hold of Ganga's hair. Devi Lakshmi, although not speaking out in anyone's defense, intervened and prevented Saraswati from manhandling Ganga to pacify the escalating tension.
"Pacify, Prashantaha."
Yes, pacify. So, as emotions flared, Saraswati, in a moment of anger and hurt, pronounced a curse upon Lakshmi.
"You who stand silent and still, may you become what you embody, a tree and a river, devoid of all the celestial comforts."
"मानहानिं करिष्यामि तद्वाद्य हरिसन्निधौ, किं करिष्यति ते कान्तो मम वैकान्तवल्लभे इत्येवमुक्त्वा गङ्गाया जिघृक्षूं केशमुद्यतां वारयामास तां पद्मां मध्यदेशास्थिता सती विपरीतं यतो दृष्ट्वा किं चिन्नो वक्तुमर्हसि संतिष्ठसि सभा मध्ये यथा वृक्षो यथा सरित् शापं श्रुत्वा च सा देवी न शशाप चुकोपना तत्रैव दुःखिता तस्थौ वाणीं धृत्वा करेण च."
The words once uttered reverberated through the halls of Vaikuntha, sealing Lakshmi's fate. Lakshmi, however, stood serene, a quiet strength in her silence. She did not retaliate with anger, nor did she beseech mercy. Instead, she chose compassion, her hand gently clasping Saraswati's, a silent plea for peace. Ganga, in response to the unfolding chaos, pronounced a reciprocal curse on Saraswati, dooming her to become a river that would wander the lands of the mortals, absorbing their sins through the dark age of Kali Yuga.
"And you, Bhadra, who has let your anger cloud your wisdom, shall also descend as a river carrying the weight of the world's sins upon your sacred waters."
As the curses took hold, the fabric of Vaikuntha trembled. Mahavishnu, in his infinite wisdom, intervened. "Let these curses not be of vengeance, but of learning and growth. You shall return enriched and enlightened from your earthly sojourns." As Ganga's curse took effect, Saraswati descended into the land of Bharata, becoming known as Bharati. Beloved by Brahma, she was also called Brahmi. With awareness, her consciousness and eloquence restored, she was revered as Vani, the goddess of speech. Concurrently, Ganga, influenced by Saraswati's curse, made her descent to earth, summoned by the terrible penance of the great Bhagiratha. Originating from the cosmic toe of Narayana as Mandakini, she entered the mortal world, her mighty currents too powerful for the earth to bear. The celestial beings, witnessing her tumultuous descent, besieged Lord Shiva, who graciously captured her force in his matted locks, calming her divine fury. On the other hand, Lakshmi, affected by Saraswati's curse, manifested on earth as the river Padmavati. In another divine form, she was born as the daughter of Dharmadvaja, known to the world as Tulasi. She graced the earth as the sacred tree, purifying those who sought her blessings. After 5,000 years of dwelling in these forms during the Kali Yuga, they all ascended back to the heavenly abode of Mahavishnu. The holy sites they sanctified, like Kashi, Vrindavana and so on, ascended with them, their sanctity intact.
Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Lakshmitvam Kalayakacha Dharmadvaja Griham Shubhe Ayonis Sambhava Bhumau Tasya Kanya Bhavishyasi Tatraiva Daiva Doshena Vrikshatvam Chalabhishyasi Madam Shasya Surasyaiva Shankachudasya Kamini Bhutva Paschacha Matpatni Bhavishyasi Nasamshayaha Trailokya Pavaninamna Tulasi Ticha Bharate Kalayacha Saridbhudhva Shigram Gachavaranane Bharatam Bharati Shapan Namna Padmavati Bhava Gange Yasya Sicham Shena Paschatvam Vishwapavani Bharatam Bharati Shapat Papadaha Yadehinam Bhakirathasya Tapasatena Nita Sudushkarat Namna Bhagirathi Puta Bhavishyasi Mahitale Madamshasya Samudrasya Jaya Jaye Mamagnaya Matkalamshasya Bhupasya Shantanoscha Sureshwari.
As 10,000 years elapsed, the divine forms of Shalagrama and the Jagannatha too would return to the celestial realm of Vishnuloka, completing the cycle of divine descent and ascent. Lakshmi transformed into the sacred Tulasi plant and the river Padmavati spread prosperity and purity in her wake. As centuries turned into millennia, the goddesses, through their earthly journeys, touched the life of countless beings, teaching and nurturing them with their divine presence. They experienced the world's sorrows and joys, its beauty and its pain, and through it all, they grew in wisdom and compassion. Oi, where is your attention, man?
With Saraswati? And this song that is ringing in my mind.
Oh, sorry, it doesn't matter. Now listen up and focus, please.
Okay, Pa. But I was wondering, since Lord Mahavishnu walked out when Saraswati accused him in the beginning, didn't he get the curse as well?
Yes, he did, but not at that time. Lord Mahavishnu takes the form of Krishna when Lakshmi is born as Tulasi in the mortal world. He tricks Tulasi into giving him a squishki by being in the guise of Tulasi's husband, Shankachuda. So Tulasi also curses Lord Krishna. In her lament, she cried out,
"Oh Lord, how could you? I devoted every moment, every breath to you, seeking only your divine presence, Yet you have shattered my trust, smearing my chastity with deceit and taking the life of my beloved Shankarchuda. Your heart seems as unfeeling as the stone, devoid of the compassion I so revered. May you exist as a stone for 1,000 years. Why, Pa? Why did Krishna do like that?
Krishna's response should clarify this. Responding to her heart-wrenching plea, the Lord spoke with an understanding and gentle tone. O Tulasi, your dedication and deep devotion have always shone brightly. Your penance to be with me was noble and pure, and the pain you feel now, a testament to the depth of your devotion. While the path has been wrought with unimaginable trials, it is time for your spirit to ascend beyond these mortal realms. You shall be elevated to Goloka, to reside with me as a divine form of Lakshmi herself. Your earthly embodiment will transform into the sacred Gandaki River, a symbol of purity and devotion. Your hair shall give rise to the holy Tulasi plants, each leaf a bearer of your sanctity and a means to salvation for countless souls. In this new form, your grace will continue to cleanse and bless the faithful. Even the simplest offering of a Tulasi leaf will be dearer to me than the most exquisite nectar. It will ensure a place in my eternal abode for those who seek refuge in your sanctity at their life's end.
Tulasyuvacha henatha te dayanasti pashana sadrishasyacha chalena dharma bhangena mama swami tvayahatah pashana sadrishastvam cha dayahino yatah prabho tasmat pashana rupastvam bhuvi deva bhavadhuna shri bhagavanu vacha tapastavyakritam sadhvi madarthe bharate chiram Tvadarthe shanka chudascha chakara suchiram tapaha Iyam tanurnadhi rupa gandakiti cha vishruta Puta supunya dandranam punya bhavatu bharate Tavakesha samuhascha punya vriksha bhavantvati Tulasi kesha sambhuta tulasi ticha vishruta aham cha shaila rupena gandaki tirasannidhau adhishtanam karishyami bharate tavashapatah.
Appa, we started the story with me talking back to Amma and parents not fighting before their children. But this is a story of how the devis cursed each other in anger. How does the story tie back to what we spoke about?
That is the main question, isn't it? Well done, Papa. See, children mainly learn from their parents, isn't it? As they grow older, they meet more children, more people, and learn more tendencies from these people as well. As time passes, they also learn that their parents, whom they thought to be superheroes and superheroines, also have their flaws. So, the children's belief system is greatly shaken. They find it tough to trust their parents again. Granddad used to say that this is why the Puranas show all these deities also having some flaws, getting angry, pronouncing curses at each other, etc. These stories show how lapse in awareness is commonplace even with the gods, and it causes all the problems in life. When actual superheroes also show such faults and children are made to listen to such stories, children are able to relate to what happens at home. As children age, they realize that even the gods have become upset. Our parents, however dear to us, are mortals. So it is okay for them to get angry at times as well. This allows children as teenagers to trust the words of their parents again, especially when the parents still have some disciplining left to do. The lesser the times the children see their parents fight, the lesser of an onus it is for children to retain their trust in parents when they are teenagers or young adults. This is the reason why we need to have awareness when we get angry and also listen to such stories. This is why parents are advised never to show anger towards each other in front of children.
But I have seen Pati scolding Tata for keeping his spectacles all in the wrong places, Pa. Isn't that bad?
See, how old are Tata and Pati?
Tata just celebrated his 70th birthday, Pa.
Yes, see, now they are well over 60 years old. When they were my age, in their 30s and 40s, I never remember them fighting with each other. So disciplined they were. Now, showing the example of a united family to you is your Amma and my responsibility, isn't it? Even then, sometimes you have seen me and Amma fighting with each other and being strict with each other, isn't it?
Yes, Pa.
See, this never happened with my Appa and Amma. I'm sure they also had their fair share of disagreements. So, it is not because they never fought, but as children, we would never know about it. They never even gave us a glimpse of their fights. When they were in their 30s, 40s or even 50s. Isn't that an achievement?
Yes, Pa.
Your Party used to tell me that children are impressionable. See, this is the reason when showing anger, it is advised for parents to not be angry. The child catches on to the unsaid emotions also so quickly, not just the said words. If parents fight in front of a child, then the child thinks that it is okay to show anger towards the person getting scolded, that it is okay to show anger towards your loved ones. Once the child grows up, it will also mimic the scolding parent and talk back to the other parent who is trying to instill some discipline and is struggling to be patient. This especially happens close to when the child reaches their teen years.
So children learn to get angry from parents only?
Wait. Yes, it is wrong for parents to show anger in front of children. But children also have their fair share of contribution to this behavior. See, the child attains puberty and then the child's emotions are haywire due to all the changes in their bodies. When the child was younger, it has recorded all the times when the parents have fought, isn't it? It is the deepest impression in the child's memory. Now, when the same child is older, without awareness, this is when all those old observations get remembered. This is when the children think that it is okay to start talking back to parents when parents are trying to discipline them.
So what to do then?
Awareness, Pa. See, awareness comes from breathing practices. That is when we learn how to regulate our breathing through pranayamas. This clears our mind of unnecessary impressions. So two things happen. The frequency of parents getting angry also reduces because they are not going to remember the previous events. And the child also remembers less of the unwanted incidents. This is why we encourage you also to do your pranayamas daily.
That's all fine. But who will speak on the children's behalf? Won't the children feel bad that they are being scolded?
They will, without any doubt. But what is the main learning? Although bitter, disciplining is for the betterment of the child. See, in South India, there is a famous dish called sambar.
Ooh, I love hot sambar with idlis.
Who doesn't? Plus, you seem to have inherited the foodie nerve from your father. In any case, the sambar is made by allowing cooked lentils, cut vegetables and salt to boil in tamarind water. Now, tamarind water is sour and sharp to the taste. But our ancestors found an interesting benefit in cooking this way. Do you want to know?
Ooh, sounds very interesting. What is it, Pa?
You see, if you make vegetables boil in salt water, they will lose their nutrients very quickly. The tartaric acid in the tamarind water forms a protective layer in preserving the nutrients, although they are boiling in hot salt water. Weren't our elders very clever?
So intelligent.
Just like this, The parents might have spent a lot of time carefully inculcating good qualities for the child right from the birth. But when the child goes out into the world, they get to see so many other things, other children. You mingle with a lot of people who come from a variety of backgrounds. It is easy for you to learn some bad tendencies from others as well, like who you see at school, or when you go out to play, when you see some screen time, when you consume media, when you travel, and so on. The scolding of the parents are like the tamarind water. It might be initially sour to the taste, but it will protect all the good things inside you. And what is life without some stern disciplining? The coercive taste of the cuddling we do will act like the lentils.
Ooh, I love cuddling.
And all the traveling we do become the spices. Your life then, like sambar, will make for an outstanding delicacy.
Yum, yum. Wow, what a lovely and clever lesson, Pa. I will surely think twice before talking back to parents when you are disciplining me, Pa.
That's my girl.
Appa, now can I go out to play? Appa. 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 Appa, why are you not responding, Pa?
Papa, how will I respond? What happened to the cursive writing you promised?
Appa.
See, if you do your cursive writing the first time, it's very good. If you wait for us to repeat it like 5 times, you will get 5 husbands like Draupadi.
What? Draupadi also skipped cursive writing? And that's why she got 5 husbands?
No. But there is a very interesting story as to how Draupadi got 5 husbands.
What is it? What?
Hear it first.
On Ancient Anecdotes.
On your favorite podcast streaming providers.
Tune in every week for a brand new episode.